And it is 9:40 in the West Coast. This is 12:40 in the East Coast, and it's 8:40 in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is Tuesday, September 19, 2017, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we have Doug Newsom with incredible spirit, with trying to finish up the Jewish year and starting a new one that will start tomorrow evening. And we're going to try to give you the spirit of the land, of the Holy Land, and bring you all happiness and blessing from wherever we are, and hoping that the world will come to its senses and will make some peace in this universe. You see, we're going around the world and we travel and we find so many stories that are wonderful, places that are enchanted and immaculate, you know, rivers that came about by God blessing. Then we hear all those noises about the terrorist attack, all those people that get hurt, and all the planning of a new war and the bomb of, you know, of practice of war of Russian these days, and celebration of another, you know, missiles launched by North Korea. And you're trying to ask yourself, where all this gone? Are we gonna be stupid to start a global war? Is really our world turned out to be mad? Because with all this information that we have and all the picture that we survived to show you, we can tell you what's going to be the result of a global war. And nobody actually listening, because we have today in the United Nations, the gathering, the most incredible gathering of power, let's say world power, by leadership we're talking. We're not talking the real power, because the real power is not, you know, the usual leaders. The leaders are only the one that makes the policy. The people that really manage the world are behind the scenes. So maybe it's time that we start talking to them. Because from the sound of the lectures that we hear on the United Nations floor, it's really boring. Let me tell you, for the first time in history of me remembering, I was so turned off by those speeches. They're so boring. Guys, I don't know if God become more attractive as far as interesting, you know, reading, listening, and looking for it, than all those world leaders that were so incredible in different ages. I'm not sure if the leaders of today really understand how boring they are, because I can understand some ego trip. I can understand getting offensive. I can understand even, you know, fighting and even, you know, like, let's see, like muscling the your politics. But you guys are really, there used to be a joke that my father, God bless his soul, that, you know, this Memorial Day, the holiday that he passed away, that used to say, you know, you can be ugly, but you guys are exaggerating. So I'm saying you can be boring, but you guys are really, really boring. So I'm not sure if I want to repeat it again, but I'm telling you, I'm going to let you listen to what the people on United Nations floor are saying, what they have this conference, and they're saying, oh, you will see. Oh, we'll show them. Oh, you guys will wipe you up. And I'm saying this is insanity in play. And if you watch the news, you can understand that the people of the universe are sick and tired of it. So let's go for, you know, from the end to the start. It doesn't matter what thing, what, you know, order you make it. It's all play the same routine. We are strong, you're weak, we're going to wipe you. That's the routine. Let's listen to President Trump meeting with a Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel yesterday.
Thank you very much. It's great to have Prime Minister Netanyahu with us today, a friend of mine for many years. And It's a real honor, I have to say. We're going to be discussing many things, among them peace between the Palestinians and Israel. Will be a fantastic achievement, and we are giving it an absolute go. I think there's a good chance that it could happen. Most people would say there's no chance whatsoever. I actually think with the capability of Bibi, and frankly, the other side, I really think we have a chance. I think Israel would like to see it, and I think the Palestinians would like to see it. And I can tell you that the Trump administration would like to see it. So we're working very hard on it. We'll see what happens. Historically, people say it can't happen. I say it can happen. But I just want to say, Mr. Prime Minister, it's an honor to have you. Thank you.
Great to see you.
Thank you
very
much. Great
to see you. Thank you. Mr. President, it's great to see you again. I want to say that under your leadership, the alliance between America and Israel has never been stronger, never been deeper. I can say this in ways that people see and in ways that they don't see. So I want to thank you for that. Equally, I look forward to discussing with you how we can address together what you rightly call is the terrible nuclear deal with Iran and how to roll back Iran's growing aggression in the region, especially in Syria. As you said, we will discuss the way we can seize the opportunity for peace between Israel and the Palestinians and between Israel and the Arab world. I think these things go together, and we look forward to talking about how we can advance both. Finally, we're going to be speaking tomorrow at the UN. And I want to say that under President Trump, America's position towards Israel at the UN has been unequivocal. It's been strong. It's got both clarity and conviction. And I want to thank you on behalf of the people of Israel and Israel's many friends around the world. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And also, as you well know, this is the Jewish New Year this week. So I want to wish you, the Jewish community of America, Jews everywhere, people everywhere, Shana Tova, happy, healthy New Year. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mr. President, I'd like to
thank
you.
Mr. President,
would
you plan to stay in the Iranian nuclear facility after this meeting?
You'll see very soon.
Sorry?
You'll be seeing very soon.
All right, you will see very soon what will happen with Iran. Now let's start with the Israeli-Palestinian peace accord. I don't know where you're at the book, but if you were, you know, adult in the last 20 years, you probably heard about it. And what does it mean? It means that there are people that claiming the land of Israel, and they're saying that Israeli took it, and now we have to give it back. Now, let me tell you clear that if it was a context of people, normal people, you would say, oh, maybe they feel something. They were born on the land. They, you know, even that they were like gypsies because they are like Arab or nomads. So they moved from one place to another. Maybe they, you know, they were born there. So maybe. But people who decide that they're going to destroy you, or people that use terrorism as an act, or even people who sponsor terrorism or pay terrorism for being killed or for killing other Jewish people, you would say, do you want to make a deal with terrorists? So you will say, no, I don't want to. So the story is like this. The Palestinian, there was never a Palestinian state, that history will tell you. And there is no occupied land because the land that Israel actually conquered was on a war with Jordan. And if you have a war and you conquer, you don't say that it's occupied. You have a peace agreement signed and delivered with Jordan. So it means that those territories are already, nobody can claim for. You don't lose the land, they said, and after you send the terrorist friend that said, listen, go get it, it's yours. You cannot conquer, make a peace agreement and then send your goons to conquer it. So that's, you know, making it bold and short and make you understand in a big scheme what's peace with Palestinian means to us. And on top, it's really rich because they decided that they're going to take the holy place of all of Israel, Jerusalem, from and make it the capital of the terrorist state. Now you say they're not terrorists. They talk to them. They have a flag. They welcome them in the United Nations. Yes, in United Nations, they welcome everybody, Iran, North Korea, everybody. And 22 resolution of the United Nations this year was against Israel, like the only one that is normal in the region. So we don't know when they talk about, you know, oh, let's do Palestinian, we'll go at it, we'll make it. I know President Trump is cute and I support him a lot, you know, and you guys. But when you talk about making a deal with Palestinian, when they signed with terrorists and now they have to make an election with Hamas, you would say no go. So I say to Donald Trump and all American friends, you know, my American friends, please get it off the table. It's ridiculous. It's fait accompli. It's over. Okay, that saga of the Clinton is over, like all their plan. And I wrote to President Trump on his Twitter, said, you know, the other president put two prime ministers underground with their dreams. You know, please, if you want to have a dream, put Jerusalem, put the embassy in Jerusalem. Make it worthy before God. All the rest is, you know, will come to play. Because once you align really good thing, you can say the rest will come around. Do you know that? That's when you go a straight line. When you start a straight line, everything will be in order. And more, we're talking about alliance. You know, my AOL account, my America Online email account was broken 2 weeks ago. I got informed from, you know, from my friend, former high-ranking FBI, to inform the police, and I did inform the police. The cyber security, the international, incredible Israeli cyber security told me they have no contact with America Online. Well, what do you mean you don't have contact? Make a contact. So I'm trying to force my hand to show them that you can make a contact. I'm calling the embassy of Israel, of America in Israel, saying, hey, I got AOL account. It's an American. If I get, you know, broken into the system, other people too. So it means that you have a loophole. Oh, well, you have to call the FBI. But the FBI told me to call the police here and nobody has a contact. And AOL doesn't even give me a reference that the account was broke to. She only, I get, you know, because I have a Gmail account that I used to, and I mail from one account to another, I got the same email that other people got, that, you know, they're asking for help, that I was wandering someplace in Spain or so, and they got it, and but there was no reference where to pay. So I was asking myself, why, if somebody want to cheat you or something, why they would write a letter not with any information? So after a while, I understood. I don't get any email. I got only one block of email that I get from my local friends, you know, from, and they are very holy, so probably they pass along. But all the rest don't arrive. So I understood that what they do, they expect you to answer them, you know, whoever received the mail, and then they communicate with them. The idea is like this. There is a big loophole in America Online, you guys. Somebody broke into the system. I don't know if it's via the iPhone or it's via the internet, you know, the regular computer, but someplace it's open. So you please watch out for that. I know that I didn't use my, you know, my password very often. So they would say, like, if you change it often, somebody can tap into it. So actually, it was not. But now I do change it often to see. But it doesn't matter. If I send myself a email from my Gmail account to AL, I don't get it. So it means that America Online is in big trouble, guys. Okay? And if Israel cannot help them, oh boy. Anyway, Let's go on and keep on going, because we have still to talk about, you know, the Huckabee talks about the significance of Trump-Netanyahu relationship. Now think about it. You know, we have the spiritual leader talking about those leaders. Let's listen to that.
Middle East peace. Is that truly possible, or is that a pipe dream between these two men?
We've already seen an extraordinary new relationship between Israel and most of the Gulf states, the Saudis, the UAE, Egypt. You had a very warm conversation with President Trump and President al-Sisi of Egypt yesterday. There's an entirely new day that's developed with Israel and many of those other Gulf states. The question about the Palestinians is up to the Palestinians. If they're willing to stop the incitement, and they're willing to stop naming streets and parks after terrorists and encouraging kids in even the school curriculum to kill Jews, there is a chance for peace. But that's where it has to start. And there has to be a clear understanding that Jerusalem will never be a divided city. As they say it there, Yerushalayim is the undisputed ancestral capital of the Jewish people, and it'll have to remain that way. So if there is an acceptance of that, there could be peace.
Now, there's an expected motorcade to my left carrying President Trump any moment now. So we believe, based on some information, he's getting closer. Come back to the issue now for a moment. You know, protocol is a big deal here at the UN. And when you consider that protocol, and a sitting prime minister will be in the hall for the president's General Assembly speech, what does that tell you, and how significant is that, Governor?
It's very significant that Prime Minister Netanyahu would be there. It's a show of solidarity. It's a show of support. It's a show of the depth of the friendship that these two men have, and also that their two nations have. And after 8 years of a very shaky relationship between Israel and the Obama administration, I think it is incredibly powerful, and it sends a message to the whole world, and especially to all of those folks at the UN, that the United States and Israel are joined at the hip. And I think that that's a very powerful visual message that people will see.
Yeah. All right. That was Mr. Huckabee talking about the significance of Trump-Netanyahu relationship. Well, come on, guys. Stop being so melodramatic. Those people are talking and they don't do anything. If you promise me the embassy in Jerusalem, you put the embassy in Jerusalem, build a new building. You cannot convert the actual consulate that's in Jerusalem to an embassy, because it serves Gaza. Now, let me tell you something about America. You know, I love the audacity of me thinking aloud here. And, you know, it's the new year and we are here before God Almighty, asking him for forgiveness and mercy. But we have to tell you the truth. Now, if you think that the consulate, let's assume that you only have a consulate of Israel, okay? Let's assume that America has a consulate in Israel, but it serves Gaza, Hamas. I wanted to go to the embassy, to the consulate there. It should be at the embassy. I wanted to go. I couldn't. Why couldn't? Because it's far on the east side. It's away, dangerous place for me. If you put me some Hamas members coming or going there, please, I don't feel really comfortable. So American government needs to decide what we really do. Why we collude? I love that word, colluding. You know, yeah, with the Russian routine. Why to collude with the Palestinian, with the Israeli? It's how can you manifest some independence in this region if you attach me a bunch of terrorists on my back? Because I'm so sorry, but I don't feel comfortable going to the consulate of America and running into some, you know, terrorists, so be, or they can become, because that's their mission in life. And I want to also go back to the Huckabee routine. I said, oh, if you stop calling, you know, name of street on terrorists, and you stop funding terrorism, maybe Israel will get, excuse me, who is your sister that you ask her to give up her independence for terrorist. How can you even talk about that? Ask you, anybody in this world can even ask us. You know, let's call the bluff, okay, of this liberal world. This goody-two-shoes, beautiful people that you want to give my piece of land to a terrorist, bunch of terrorists. Let's assume you didn't want to give it to me in the first place, which is not true, because in 2019-23 in San Remo, the Israeli part, the Jewish land, was all the territory of Palestinian, included Jordan. Jordan came about from nowhere. Jordan has no rights in the region. There is no Jordan. Where Jordan came from? But we decided, okay, you have some Arab people. Let's give them a peace. We don't want to fight. We just stand up. It was under the Second World War. But you guys insist, okay, let's have more. Let's take a piece more. And you want Jerusalem. And that's where you lose the game, because you can go with Jerusalem anywhere, because Jerusalem is the only, and that's the only thing that Huckabee was right about. Yes, oh well, and the relationship, a beautiful relationship between two presidents, president or prime minister, they all both talks about what? We are going to show them. Yeah, right. We are going to go there. Right, yes. And I'm telling you, I'm a girl, but those looks like definitely, you know, I feel much braver these days. Maybe I don't have the responsibility, that's for sure. That makes me, you know, a part of the game too, you know, by all means. The idea is, how can we create a world where reason is on top? And all the stories that those leaders tells us will disappear from the world, and where we decide that we don't deal with terrorists, we don't go with them to any kind of agreement, sure enough, not even talking about, you know, giving them anything, because you don't want to give any terrorists safe havens. That's where they grow. That's where it happened. In all those places where the cradle of terrorism was embedded. Now, we have a challenge to teach our leaders where the world is, and expect them to hold themselves to higher ground, and enough of this spending of their public money, because we're going to hear some of President Trump speech today at the United Nations, and we might, I think that it's going to be starting only in some place, but he was telling that the men of power in the United Nations got grown, but their achievement is slim to none. Come on, United Nations is a waste of time. I'm telling you something, there is a moment in history that everyone can remember in his life. And one of this was one moment in time that I was there in front of an audience, and somebody told me, why don't you abolish United Nations? And I was goody two shoes then to say, well, it's not our, you know, to think that it's not ours to abolish. But the truth of the matter today, I'm saying, oh my God, we don't need United Nations that help terrorists actually shelter the missile for Hamas in the 2014 war of Gaza, that fund them. UNRWA is funding terrorism all the time. They actually sit and do nothing everywhere. If there is a war, they run away. I don't know why we have all this incredible structure, and 9/11 happened just in front of this. I want to remind you all, if you look at the United Nations building from 9/11 spot toward the Twin Tower War, it's that far away. And it drove me crazy when I saw that. It was really, really, really incredible to see that it was closed. I said, you have United Nations there, like two blocks, and that would happen. So who needs you guys if that something can happen under your nose? Think what happens in the rest of the world. That's my policy now on United Nations. No more. And forget the commerce. There is no commerce. You know, World Trade Center never was created in the internet. And whatever they have, it's a joke. Okay, so from the business factor, they are null. From the security, they are bad. From peacemaking, they're bad. And the story keep on going, and they get in larger and larger, and they live for free, and the corruption is everywhere. You think this is a world organization that we need? I tell you not. You don't want to. You don't want to have it, and you really, really need to think. Because remember, there is a God, and it's not them. So we can change them. And they're not there forever. And if you guys think that, you know, the people that are staying in the street making some crazy routine because, I don't know, this black moving life, what you're of, but I'll call you bluff today that you want the old story of African that wants black America. Let's say it. It's about time that somebody will say it. I don't buy your, you know, this thing, black life matter, because every life matters. Nobody says. And who are you to say this life matter more than the other? You know, it's like, what are you trying to achieve? And to riot in the middle of cities, stop everything and actually get, you know, get people in trouble. Why? When you want the anarchy? Okay, this is America. You want, it won't last forever because there are people coming after. And, you know, but there is something else that's coming. There is intervention. Almighty intervention, you can call it whatever you want, but Hurricane is an intervention. It's a fast, furious, and nasty intervention to stop you from rioting everywhere. It got your attention, right? Now, you didn't stop. You got one sign, big sign, that said, oh, guys, stop fighting. All in Houston were like angels. They behaved nicely. They helped each other. They went in the mud and helped each other like God command. Beautiful. We got another one in Florida. Florida is getting a little like this. It's not easy because it's the Keys. It's, you know, a little different. It's not the same place. Then you keep on going again. It's like nothing happened. You just didn't lose $140 billion in asset. You didn't lose it. It's the money of the government, right? You didn't think that you have to pay it someplace because all this recovery money, who you think is going to pay it? Your children and your children's children. So instead of that, you come in and get your stuff together and helping America, you're destroying it more. So you get another hurricane coming. And I'm not saying that it's because of you. No. But it gets your attention, all right? So I know God. He gets your attention if you don't understand. And I'm calling you. This is the Holy Land I'm calling from. So please, listen. I don't understand much, but I know something about God. He makes us pay really bad. Listen, the Jewish people had to go through 2,000 years in the diaspora because they disobey. You don't know why. They say where God was. I told you to behave like nice. I told you to respect your brother. I told you to don't go and worship nothing like money. Like a golden calf? No, but you decided. This is the portion of the Bible of this week. He said, any time you respect the rule of conduct of the universe, this is a universe that needs to have a balance of power. The balance is not about power that you become strong or that you become weak. It's a balance. It means like you leave, you give shelter to the needy. You help the animals. You take care of the kids. You get the next generation to be educated. You pull to polite, to respect you. And then you have a world you can live in. If not, you would eat each other alive. And what are you doing? No, we don't want that anymore. We are going to break all the rules. We are America. Yeah, really? Okay, so you got one, two, and three coming up, and you are still kicking. My God. You know, we say about the story about Egypt, that when Moses went to the Pharaoh, he asked him, let my people go. And because God wanted to punish him so hard, he made his heart strong. So he will refuse. So he have a reason to punish him more. And he said, okay, start again. You want to let my people go? No. Okay, 10 you know, plagues. The idea is not that if you learn the lesson fast enough, that's what we have to learn. That's something that all our leaders are shortcoming. They don't see even under the nose, and they're trying to repeat the history that we all have to learn. Do not repeat it. What do you want to do? You want to try to start a world war in 2017? Are you guys out of your mind? And I'm really usually polite, and I'm usually very, very reasonable. But when I am a mother and I see those people trying, oh, let's go fight, I'll whip you. Oh, really? With who kids you're sending? You're not going to war. You're sitting on a really good couch. Instead, you're sending those 18 years that are, years old that you have all their life between to die. And the Chinese, you know, look at the Korean War. If you look at the Korean War, you realize that the Chinese went to send North Korea soldier. The Chinese died in North Korea for North Korea in the Korea War. So we have China is playing a double game, and I'm so sick of tired of covering and playing, because we are a billion people. We go to buy the rest of the world and we own you all. No, right now you ran after money, right? Because you put it in Africa. Strategy doesn't work for you. A long range maybe, but for in Africa you don't put anything, because all the funds got there, you got diluted funds. Now the engine is slowing down big time. So you want a war. So you're messing with America again. So you have an excuse to fight with her. And America don't give them an excuse to fight. It's like a fighting with the bank. Do you want to fight with a bank? Are you nuts? You know they come after you. So what do you try to do? So let's listen to a song of Barbara Streisand. This is on the eve of New Year's Eve, of the Jewish New Year's Eve. Let's pray, everybody, together, that God will help us solve this craziness of the world, because we love this world. We want it to be on, but the right way. Let's listen to Barbara Streisand. Barbara Streisand, Avinu Malkeinu, God Almighty, our King, please listen to our voices. Please renew us and you. Make this new year a good year. Make it, you know, watch for our little one. Watch for our infant. Watch over ourselves everywhere. Make it. Just listen to our voices and our prayer. May all your prayer will come before God Almighty. And at this occasion, we need to ask everybody for forgiveness. Whoever I hurt you, whoever I said something wrong, and whoever I, by mistake or properly or not properly, behaved, please forgive me. And from the bottom of my heart, I want you to understand that this is a start, and you must, you know, clean all dues. So we start clean, happy, and before the new year start. And when the challenges are so big and so huge, humongous, to our leaders, you need to pray for them. You need to pray the leaders for the leaders of all the free world and ask what are they doing to make it better. And we see, you know, you look around and you see the French government try to shape up. You see the German election happening. I know that the Russian is going to have an election soon, and you know, if it's going to be Putin, we need to come to terms with what role we want Russia to make. Because I'm telling you, after the role they play in 2013, you cannot try to blame them with not helping, not cooperating, because they could have taken the leadership of the world and they left it to America. Sincerely, I'm in the Middle East. I see the way that they are really, really, politely positioning themselves. Of course, they need to. It's strategic. You cannot play and not be a part of it. You're a player. So, but we need to just give them some more tolerance or more instruction to what we expect them to do. You know what I loved when I came to America? One thing is great, America. America is great by so many levels that you don't even understand when you live in America. Forget that, how big and how beautiful and how awesome and what the services that you have, that all order, everything is recognized. You can read clear, you can understand, you can listen clear. Everything is clear. The book of instruction that you give to your employee, the book that every employee can get in case they want to know what's the procedure to follow. You know, when you say you go and buy the book, it's not a saying, it's actually a thing. You go and buy the book in America. So please create a book of American-Russian relationship, because I don't know if there wrote many American-Israeli relationship, but every year we start anew because we want a closer relationship. We are more connected. The alliances are different. But the truth of the matter, you guys are so close that you send me the troops over here. Now I have a base here. Now, for God's sake, why I need American base here? Let's ask question. You don't have enough soldier, Israeli soldier here to defend the area? Or having a base, what does it mean? You need more space. That's what it is. Now you can understand how much space you will need. Now you can understand that when you take off in your F-35, incredible F-35, you will take 30 seconds to get off to the other side, to the border. There is no space. There is no air space. There is nothing. So when you guys want to squeeze me, I want to scream, because I know what is to fly. And flying is everything, because that's that's protection. So yeah, maybe it's a good thing that happens. You know, I like that. I like more American underground by all means, because the Israeli needs to get some different state of mind, because they are, it's hard to live in the desert between terrorists and then everybody blaming you, pushing you around all day. Maybe we need some big brother friend to come and play around. Anyway, let's listen what President Trump has to say on the United Nations floor today when he denounced North Korea during his UN address.
The scourge of our planet today is a small group of rogue regimes that violate every principle on which the United Nations is based. They respect neither their own citizens nor the sovereign rights of their countries. If the righteous many do not confront the wicked few, then evil will triumph. When decent people and nations become bystanders to history, the forces of destruction only gather power and strength. No one has shown more contempt for other nations and for the well-being of their own people than the depraved regime in North Korea. It is responsible for the starvation deaths of millions of North Koreans, and for the imprisonment, torture, killing, and oppression of countless more. We were all witness to the regime's deadly abuse when an innocent American college student, Otto Warmbier, was returned to America only to die a few days later. We saw it in the assassination of the dictator's brother using banned nerve agents in an international airport. We know it kidnapped a sweet 13-year-old Japanese girl from a beach in her own country to enslave her as a language tutor for North Korea's spies. If this is not twisted enough, now North Korea's reckless pursuit of nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles threatens the entire world with unthinkable loss of human life. It is an outrage that some nations would not only trade with such a regime, but would arm, supply, and financially support a country that imperils the world with nuclear conflict. No nation on earth has an interest in seeing this band of criminals arm itself with nuclear weapons and missiles. The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime. The United States is ready, willing, and able, but hopefully this will not be necessary. That's what the United Nations is all about. That's what the United Nations is for. Let's see how they do. It is time for North Korea to realize that the denuclearization is its only acceptable future. The United Nations Security Council recently held two unanimous 15-0 votes adopting hard-hitting resolutions against North Korea. And I want to thank China and Russia for joining the vote to impose sanctions, along with all of the other members of the Security Council. Thank you to all involved. But we must do much more. It is time for all nations to work together to isolate the Kim regime until it ceases its hostile behavior.
All right. It was cut down because they wanted to make sure that you got the North Korea point only. North Korea, you know, there is a call for you. I don't know how come that guy wants to fight. Let's see. Maybe because nobody pay attention to him. Okay. I'm not going to make the libertarian kind of assumption. Oh, you know, he was abused as a kid. That's why we have to treat him nicely. No, they're gonna probably have some more sanctions, get China to get involved if she's on the right side of history these days. Because I assume the fact that she trained with him, she just give him the leverage. And the fact that she joined them in the first Korea War, I'm saying the first, like there will be another one. It means that we have the possibility that they join forces. But hey, if they sign the agreement, maybe it's better than we think. Maybe Donald Trump is the game changer of the world. But he was talking about the Palestinian state, which is ludicrous. Now we have tomorrow to listen what he's going to say. The representative of the Palestinian, old, very old man, that the Hamas wants to join forces again with him. And we'll see. I think that he's going to claim Jordan as the Palestinian land. That's my prediction. Hey, listen, I don't know to predict. I'm not a prophet in this film. I'm just making some assumption that, you know, it will be a really well played if he calls upon Jordan as the Palestinian state. he called upon Israel. So what's the difference? If you could call upon a sovereign state as your own land, you could call on the next one, right? Yeah, who count what side of the Jordan it is? Anyway, let's listen to some music and we'll gotta wrap it up after that.
And love you.
That was Whitney Houston, the greatest. She was wonderful. God bless her soul. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth on BBS Radio Studio One. Doug Newsom is wonderful as ever. And we're wrapping up the Jewish New Year. Actually, Jewish celebration of a new year, because we start the new year tomorrow night. And we'll all go to pray and have a wonderful dinners with everybody. And one custom that we do is to dip, apple in honey. So we have a sweet year. It's a good thing. It's a good idea. I remember teaching, other children what we do. So they understand that Judaism is actually a tradition. It's nothing, to be scared of if you don't know us. So they become really friendly to the idea that you have an apple, you dip it in the honey and you make all mess. That's really kind of fun for children. Anyway, now before we wrap it up, I want just to touch base with the national forecast for Tuesday, September 19, because we have an hurricane coming. And if you are good, if we pray hard, seriously, and I pray with you, maybe it will go away. You never know. Miracle do happens. You know that. Let's listen to that.
We are back with a Fox News alert. Hurricane Maria devastating the tiny island called Dominica, making landfall as a Category 5 overnight.
A Category 5. The monster storm blowing off roofs and flooding homes. The prime minister there saying they have, quote, lost all that money can buy.
Wow, Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands now bracing for the worst as Maria heads their way. Janice Dean is live in the studio tracking Maria's path. Hey, Janice, where do we see it?
Yeah, unfortunately, a Category 5, they weakened it a little bit overnight as it made landfall, its first landfall over Dominica. And now it is back to a Category 5. Hurricane hunters have seen winds in excess of 160 miles per hour. So that's why it's now back to a Category 5. We're expecting the potential for a Cat 5 or Cat 4 to affect the British and U.S. Virgin Islands, as well as Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico could potentially take a direct hit from this hurricane and then over Hispaniola and potentially the Bahamas over the next couple of days as a major hurricane. So obviously we've got hurricane warnings in effect, Category 5. The last time we saw two Category 5s was back in 2007, and we saw Irma just, last week as a Category 5. Future radar shows this devastating storm, unfortunately, hitting some of the same areas as Irma, U.S. Virgin Islands, British Virgin Islands, and then Puerto Rico again potentially could take the worst of the core of the strongest winds. Forecast rainfall, we could see upwards of a foot in some areas, over 2 feet of rainfall. It could be potentially devastating for Puerto Rico, and the forecast winds well over 100 miles per hour here. And again, some of these areas already affected by Irma, now Puerto Rico in its sights. The tropical models right now show it east of the Bahamas and perhaps not making an impact.
All right, so you see, this is while we're talking, happens also a 7.4 magnitude earthquake happened in Mexico, on southern Mexico, where, Mexico City and all. And there is no report about what's happening right now. But you understand that when people think that it's climate change, you might see it as climate change in one perspective, because the abuse that happens on Earth right now, it's creating a balance. And you can call it nature, you can call it God, it doesn't matter. It gets to us and to our attention that we need to start being a little more careful with whatever we handle. You have to handle with care. That's the rule. And if there is a lesson that I learned from last year and I want to bring it forward, I said this year is going to be a year of critics, critical decision making. Yeah, I love to make a decision, you know, because, you know, there is nothing new under the sun that King Solomon used to say. Whatever happened already happened before, so you don't invent something, so you don't have to say that what happened to you, it's new and nobody had it before. Even the technological stuff that you have, not, the stories is the same, it's human story, and they all have history that we can learn from it if we just take the time to make sense out of what we're doing, like the matriarch tomb of Rachel that is in the territories of Palestinian that I'm not allowed to visit because it's in territories, you know, only if I have security vehicle, which is ridiculous. You would think that, you know, if the world will come to its senses and will make sense of the Jewish faith as the matriarch and the patriarch, they cannot be on somebody else's territory and Jerusalem cannot be somebody else's heritage. Because we have a Bible of 2,000 years to show for. If you start from the truth, the Bible, that's the oldest testament that we have. You know, nothing you can, I can prove more than the Old Testament that it's the most popular book in the world. I guess that it must be truth if people preserve it for so long. If the heritage of Jewish people is given to another nation, and you guys think that you can be good and sit there, you're getting the balance of truth, of edge. And the world is based on, I don't know, on the miracle of creation. Because if you wake up in the morning and you see the sun and the stars come in the evening at night, you know there is a miracle in the world. And this world is beautiful for us to keep, to preserve, and to hand up to the next generation. So please be cautious. Please be graceful. Please love each other like, you know, there is no other day, because you never know when this time is up. So by all means, I want to love you from all my heart, to bless you and send you all my prayer for safeguards, for Godspeed, for whoever needs to come back home. Be safe. God bless you all from Israel, the Holy Land. This is Orly Benny Davis, sending you all my Jewish friends. Shana Tova Umetuka. God bless you all. Ciao, ciao.